church is being built as people are receiving Christ born within. And then as those who are born again, you and I, as we grow and get stronger and are built up, it's all based upon what Jesus Christ has accomplished. The reason that He could send forth the gift of Holy Spirit is because He has accomplished redemption. The reason that we are sons of God now and growing in grace is because He has accomplished redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 10, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is," what? "Jesus Christ." See, this is the church built upon Christ. And Christ continues to build the church by evidently being the one responsible to send forth the gift of Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ," referring to people of a Gentile background. "For He is our peace, who hath made both one," those of a Judean background, those of a Gentile background, "both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making," what? "Peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the," what? "Spirit." How is it that a person becomes a part of this wonderful body of Christ? Through the gift of Holy Spirit. And now we continue to build the Word and continue to build each other up so that this body continues to grow, that the body is built up. Look at Acts chapter 2. It's a very unique day and time in which we live, in that the Holy Spirit is available to anyone and everyone upon the face of the earth. This has certainly not always been the case. Have you ever considered the Old Testament, for example? There were men who had Holy Spirit given to them for their utilization. Men like Moses, men like Abraham, the men that wrote down the Bible, surely, men like David. But they were one of many thousands, hundreds of thousands, may I say millions, of Israelites. There's a wonderful verse of Scripture in the book of Psalms where it says that God made His ways known unto Moses, but His acts unto Israel. Are you familiar with that verse? You know, God worked directly via the Spirit with Moses, and then Moses taught the over 2 million Israelites that he led and that he was responsible for. So in other words, God worked with a few people, but most people didn't have that direct access. Another difference of the Spirit back then is that the Spirit was given conditionally. It was not incorruptible seed. It was not a birth of the Spirit. And so what could occur and what did occur is people could lose the Spirit. People like Eli and King Saul and others lost the Spirit. Remember, in the 51st Psalm, I believe it is. Yeah. In the 51st Psalm, after David had so screwed up, he prayed to God, "I pray that you don't take the Holy Spirit from me," because he knew that was possible. What a different day and age in which we live. Part of the greatness of this administration is that we are sons of God by birth. It's incorruptible seed within each one of us. You know what that means? Is you can't lose it. And by the way, I would say that if we could, we would. You cannot lose Holy Spirit. That's why it's eternal life. And you know what? All of Christ is in all of us. Everything that Christ is in all of us. So now, instead of God having a relationship with Moses, and then Moses conveying that to millions of people, he can have a relationship with each one of us. That's what he desires. That's what he's always desired. See, is to have a people that would love him, that would worship him, that would walk and talk with him, that would rely on him, that would come and crawl into his arms and make their requests known so that he could hear and answer their prayers. See, that's God. And within this gift of Holy Spirit, he's also given us the ability to pray unto him perfectly and to worship him perfectly via the Spirit, something that wasn't available prior to Pentecost. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 2, very familiar verse of Scripture, verse 4. It says, "And 11 of them were filled with the Holy Ghost, but Peter got missed because, they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance." Since Pentecost, everybody who accepts Christ, everybody who comes as part of the Church of God, we're all filled with Holy Spirit. See, we've got all of Christ born within, and every one of us can walk and talk with God. Every one of us can operate the Spirit of God. Every one of us are children of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, sometimes I think the way people operate, they still think it's back in the old days where there's like one great man of God and then everybody else is just sort of a spectator. That's not Christianity. We're all filled. You know, everybody's looking for the great man of God to do something when we're all children of God. See, we're all part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the goody-goodies." It's given to just a couple. Nope. "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man to profit with all." See, every one of us to every man. Now, context, manifestation of the Spirit is given to every born-again man. How are you going to manifest Spirit if you don't have it? Until you get born again, you don't have the Spirit. So what's the context? Every Christian man, you could say, or every born-again one. See, but every one of us have the God-given ability to operate all nine manifestations. Now, because every one of us does that mean every one of us will? No, because it's not automatic. There's a couple things that you can understand just from reading this context of what it takes to be able to manifest Holy Spirit. Verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," the word gifts is in italics in the King James, it's not accurately supplied. The word spiritual means spiritual matters or things of the Spirit. "Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." In light of verse 1, what's one thing that could keep people from manifesting the Spirit? Ignorance. How many born-again ones know about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit? You know, not many. Have you ever gone up to people that aren't a part of your regular fellowship and you say, hey, do you operate all nine all the time? Do you know what the nine manifestations are? You know, and people are ignorant. Now, a lot of us in this room are not ignorant. Can't say that we're ignorant. You know, I can say, oh yeah, I know what they are. Speaking in tongues, interpretation, tongue, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. I know what they are. But there's another thing that's mentioned in this context, verse 11. It says, but all these, referring to these nine manifestations, all these nine manifestations worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, what? Wills. Dividing to who? Every man. But every man that wills to do it. So you've got to will to speak in tongues. I've taught a lot of people through the years how to speak in tongues. And sometimes I have people stand up and they'll close their eyes and they'll breathe in, and then I tell them, okay, speak in tongues, and then they just sit there. And if they don't speak, if you don't speak, are you ever going to speak in tongues? No. Same thing with interpretation. You know, you have to give the interpretation after you've spoken in tongues, don't you? You have to do that. You have to will to do it. You know, get some teaching so that you're not ignorant. And then you have to will to operate the manifestation. Same thing with prophecy. Same thing with receiving revelation. Same thing with gifts of healings, working of miracles, and believing. You have to operate. You have to will to do it. Have to overcome ignorance and then desire to do it. But man, let's get it straight. Every one of us can. And God wants every one of us to do it. We could go into 1 Corinthians. I would ye all spake in tongues. And then he goes on to say, but rather that ye all prophesy. God wants us all to prophesy. God wants us to all interpret. Certainly God wants us to listen to him and receive revelation. And he wants to see the power in the church, signs, miracles, and wonders that come from faith, miracles, and healing. We can do it. We certainly have the God-given ability. And we have this wonderful word of God to teach us. We certainly have a wonderful fellowship of believers to encourage us. But every one of us can operate the power of God. What a unique day and time in which we live. What a great age of grace. Look at 1 Corinthians. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This then goes on to compare the church, as we saw this morning, to a human body. Remember the context. The context of verse 1 is spiritual matters. So when it comes to the body of Christ, the church is a what? Spiritual matter. See? And this is a very important point. This is not a census organization. It's not a census thing. It's not a recruitment thing, or it's not a, you know, an organization thing that man organizes. See, what will mess up the church is when man's thinking gets in there. You know, when man starts trying to figure it out and play God. This is a spiritual matter. The church is a spiritual matter. And we're going to learn about it from reading starting in verse 12. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also in Christ. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot would be one of the members of the body of Christ, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, none of us can be kicked out of the body of Christ. You know, now somebody might want to say, I'm not of the body. I remember years ago, I like music, and I remember years ago, Bob Dylan converted to be a Christian. Any of you remember that? For a while he was, you know, singing like songs about going to heaven and stuff. And then at one point he renounced his Christianity to become a Jew again. you know, no, I didn't get the chance to tell him this, but Bob, you can't do that. It's not available. See? So, but this, you know, like one person doesn't like their place in the body and they want to do what somebody else is supposed to do. And they say, well, if I don't get to do what he wants to do, I'm out of here. No, it doesn't work that way. It says, and if the ear, verse 16, shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this, you know, big eye showing up at your fellowship or something? You know, if we're all trying to do the same thing, you know, if we all had the same function in the body of Christ, this is some of the stuff that kind of came up at Corinth. You know, a lot, if somebody's teaching, everybody wants to teach, or somebody's speaking and interpreting, everybody wants to do it all at the same time. You know, no. There's different functions within the body of Christ. If the whole eye, or whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased, what? Him. Now, by the new birth, you are set in the body. And what comes with the new birth is a particular function for you to play within the body, within the church. And you know who set you in that particular function? God. It's not me. It's not your fellowship coordinator. It's not your wife. You know, it's not by committee. It's God. But every one of us, and I don't know how many we have here, 60 or so, Bruce? So within this fellowship, there are 60 different functions that each one of us, or, you know, that we collectively provide within the church. Every one of us have a unique function. And it's according to how God has set us in the body. Now, this is an area that all of us can grow in a lot, in understanding what part we play in the body. But the undeniable truth is that God hath set the members, every one of them, there's that word, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know, evidently, this was another problem at Corinth. Is some people, because of their position, they were saying, I don't need Larry. You know, I don't need this person. I don't need that person. You know, maybe setting themselves up a little arrogantly and, you know, that they got their stuff together so it doesn't stink. You know, but that person's sort of insignificant. You know, just stop and think. After what we saw this morning about what God did in keeping the mystery secret, that if Satan would have known what was coming, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory, that this is why Jesus Christ came. This is the purpose of the ages, for us all to be in the body together. What or where in the heck is it coming from when people are thinking that somebody's expendable? But yet that's been the history of Christianity. You know, people getting kicked out. You know, people saying, oh, these people are unnecessary. Man, how different is what God's Word says? Verse 22, nay, much more, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. Remember the emphasis of the mystery? Christ is the head, and we're all one. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in what? Particular. Hey, what great truths. See, we're all a part of the body of Christ, and every one of us have a unique and very significant function to perform. You know, every once in a while, I'll get a little irritation in my cuticle. It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while it happens to me, and all of a sudden my cuticle becomes like a big deal. You know, something you just take for granted, you don't even think about it. But you ever get an infection in your cuticle and it just hurts like hell? And you're like, ugh. You know? You know, well, one member suffered, the whole body suffered with it. You know, we should have the same care one for another. You know, I start paying attention to my cuticle and try to get it healed, rub some cream on there, and, you know. You know, that's a very small example, but there's certainly a lot of other examples. Man, if your body is hurting, you care for it. You know, you work so that the body stays one and stays healthy. These are truths that we understand, all of us as human beings understand it, because we have a human body, and God uses that to teach us about how the church is. There's no parts of your body expendable. I just read an article. I wish I would have saved it, but some researchers just recently, maybe some of you guys heard about this, but they recently were finding out what the appendix is supposed to do, or what the appendix does in the human. Did anybody read that? I can't remember what they found out, but it's like they were understanding the function of the appendix.
Yeah, I mean,
something with digestion. They've always thought appendix is worthless, or what they say is that it's a leftover evolutionary part. That, yeah. See? Every part of the body is needed. You know, God knows what He's doing. He has set us in the body as it's pleased Him. Now, we're all different, and praise God for the differences. It's beautiful. You know, one of the things I love about Christianity is that we all share so much. I mean, we share Christ, we share God, we share love, we share so much in common, but yet we're all individuals. You know, because you become a Christian, you don't lose your individuality, do you? You know, you're still the same person. You still got the same stupid sense of humor or whatever you got, and, you know, which is great. See, how God does all this is just so marvelous. It's so fantastic. Earlier in this chapter, in understanding us as members in particular and our function in the body of Christ, I want to point out a verse and then help you to understand it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "Now there are diversities of what? Gifts, but the same Spirit." See, all of us have the same Spirit. But then this says there are diversities of gifts. The word gifts is the Greek word charismata. Its root word charis is grace. Gifts of grace. There are diversities of gifts. Now, we know quite a bit about this already. Look at Romans chapter 5. Why doesn't somebody who's got seven fingers on one hand look up Acts 2:38. Who's got seven fingers? Anybody in here? Okay. We're going to read about a gift that all of us are very familiar with. Dick, why don't you read Acts 2:38?
"Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Yeah, gift of Holy Spirit. Okay, gift of Holy Spirit is referred to here in Romans chapter 5. Who'd like to read verse 15, please?
"But not as the offense offered to the Lord, so offered the Lord himself to
Okay, so here the gift, and these are all, the word gift is all the word charismata, okay? So it's called the gift of Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38. Here it's called the free gift and the gift by grace. It's talking about the gift of Holy Spirit, gift. There's also used in Romans 6. Who would like to read verse 23, please?
"But now being made free from sin and become servants to God."
Are you in verse
23?
It's okay.
"When am I reading glasses? Yeah. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Okay, so the gift of God, charismata of God, is what? Eternal life. That's Holy Spirit, the free gift, the gift by grace. Okay, now, that's something that's given to all of us, right? But it's one category of charismata, the gift of Holy Spirit. Now, there's another section of Romans that deals with gifts. And remember, our starting point is there are diversities of gifts. There's diversity of charismata. Romans chapter 12. You might have noticed sometimes I don't always read perfectly every word that's written in the Bible. I don't know if it's an older age thing, or I do got large print. Or my wife's always like, Doug, come on, I could just read it better. You can read it better than that. Maybe I'm dyslexic or something. You know what the ultimate dyslexic thing is? When people think that dog is man's best friend. Romans chapter 12, we're working on diversities of gifts. It says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Now, obviously, not all the members of the body of Christ can fit into one office. I mean, obvious. That's so obvious. No. It's not talking about a cubicle, okay? The word office here is the word for function. So, now, isn't this what we read in 1 Corinthians 12? Some of you might know that Romans and Corinthians are very much related. Romans sets forth, from a doctrinal perspective, or largely from a doctrinal perspective, what Corinthians presents from a reproof perspective, because the church of Corinth wasn't doing so good. But these two chapters of 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are very interrelated. Remember, we started with their diversities of gifts. Now it says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function," like some are feet, some are eyes, some are ears, some are elbows, some are, whatever things. In verse 5, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Having then what? Gifts differing. Now maybe this will explain to us diversities of gifts, because it's talking about gifts differing, right? It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of believing." Verse 7, "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches, on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with what? Cheerfulness." Now, if I'm reading my Bible right, these things listed here are called by God gifts. Are they not? Same word, charismata. There are diversities of gifts. Here we're talking about diversities of gifts. These two chapters go together. They're related. We're talking about the different functions in the body of Christ. And here the different functions in the body of Christ God calls gifts. Now, how does this fit? Let me say something as a preface, because many of you came and we're taught by Dr. Rural as the beginning point of understanding the accuracy of God's Word. Dr. Rural made tremendous progress in the study of the Bible by making the differentiation between the gift of Holy Spirit and the nine manifestations of that one gift. Because prior to that, most people that were even concerned about that field thought that the only way that you could speak in tongues is if you had the gift of tongues. Or that the only way you could prophesy is if you had the gift of prophecy. Or the only way that you could discern spirits, and then they never got around to discerning spirits anyway, but the only way you could do that is if you had that as a gift, and then what they concluded is most people didn't have the gift, so they just didn't do it. Now, we know different. We know that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Every man to profit with all. Now, cure your ignorance, want to do it, you know, grow as a Christian, yes. But every one of us can manifest Holy Spirit. All of us can speak in tongues. All of us can interpret. All of us can prophesy. All of us can receive revelation. We know that. And that's tremendous progress. What this says is that in verse 4, all members have not the same function. This is not talking about whether you're born again or not. This is talking about born again ones having different functions within the body of Christ. In other words, different abilities, things that God gives us to do. This is very much akin to God hath set the members in the body as it has pleased Him, that we're members in particular. And part of that is that we're going to, each one of us, have our own unique function, according to verse 4. Now, what becomes problematic is when it starts to give examples of these functions, the first one that's mentioned is prophecy. And we worked really hard to understand that prophecy is not a gift, and here it's called a gift. Well, it is a gift, but it's a gift in the sense of a long suit. It's a gift in the sense of a function. Can every born-again one prophesy? Yes. 1 Corinthians 14 encourages all to do it. But are all of us doing it as a long suit? No. We can all prophesy. And boy, if we wanted to take the time, we could instruct and we can practice groups and we could demonstrate that. We have demonstrated that. We can all prophesy. But you know what? There's some people that when they prophesy, it just blows you out of your seat. Why? Because it's their function in the body of Christ. It's something that they're really good at. It's their long suit. I think of like in a human body, you got hands and feet. Okay? Hands are really good at picking up stuff and holding things, right? Hands are good for holding. Feet are good for standing upon and walking. Now, can you stand on your hands? Well, I probably couldn't. I don't know. I'm used to. But, you know, people can stand on their hands, but it's not a very good way for walking. In other words, for hands, it's not a long suit. Right? Can you pick stuff up with your feet? Yeah, I guess. But it's not a very good way to hold stuff, is it? You understand? You know, we're not going to all excel at everything. By the way, in verse 6, when it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, some of the uses of this word differing are translated excelling. And that kind of fits in the context of this being God-given long suits. See, God wants you to understand your function in the body of Christ. And your function is going to be what you're good at. See, what God wants you to do. You know, hands are really good for holding. See, that's what they're to be used for. Feet are really good for walking. Eyes are great at seeing. See, each one of us, according to the Scripture, each one of us have a God-given long suit. And you know what God calls that? Your gift. It's your gift to the church. That's what it is. Now, another thing that has been taught and that I believe has been inaccurate is that there are only 5 gift ministries given to the church. And they are those listed in Ephesians chapter 4. What is it, verse 8? Is it? Nah, yeah, verse 11. You're right, John. Verse 11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we have understood those as being gifts. Gifts to the church. But my Bible also calls prophecy a gift to the church, what we just read. And it gives a number of other examples, things that you wouldn't think of as being gifts to the church. But they're long suits. See, if a person is a teacher, what's his long suit? Teaching. If a person is a pastor, what's his long suit? Pastoring. That's what God wants the pastor to do. But all of us, make no mistake about it, all of us have a long suit. And in Romans chapter 12, God calls those long suits gifts. They're differing functions. They're excelling functions within the body of Christ. You know what this does? Is it levels the playing field. Man, we're all created equal in Christ Jesus, and we all have a function to perform, and it's all a gift to the church. You know, it's no longer this two-tiered system, you know, where there's like the, you know, the honchos up here, and then, you know, we're all children of God. We all got God-given abilities, and we all got unique, needed functions within the body of Christ. Let's read it again. It says, verse 6, having then gifts, charismata, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, and then this translation, by the way, in King James is not very good in these. And you can tell just initially because they had to add a lot of italicized words because they didn't know how to translate it very well. But it's real simple. It says, hey, we have gifts differing or excelling according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy according to the proportion of believing. You know, prophesy. If that's your long suit, prophesy according to the proportion you're believing. And by the way, it's implied that all of these are operated according to your, the proportion of your believing. And then verse 7, or ministry in ministering is what it says. One wonderful translation handled this. If you got a long suit in ministering, get busy ministering. What's that saying? Do it. Use it. The reason God gave you the ability, the reason God set you in the body with that unique function is so that you'd use it. Each one of these that are listed here are a sample. They are representative of other gifts. Prophecy represents the nine manifestations. There are some people that are really good at prophesying. I know a few in our local fellowship back in California. I tell them whenever they come to fellowship, I call on them to prophesy. And then every time, I'm so blessed. You know, it's great. But there are some people who are really good at gifts of healing. Have you ever met anybody? Those are the people I like to call up when I don't feel good. You know, there's some people who are really good at discerning of spirits. There's some people who operate word of wisdom. This is representative of the nine manifestations, long suits. And then it says, or ministry in ministering. Get busy ministering. Now, the word ministry just means service. There's a lot of different ways to serve, isn't there? One thing that, well, I want to look at it with you. Keep your finger in Romans 12, but look at Luke chapter 2. Thought of this. Verse 36 of Luke 2. It says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So, yeah, I don't know how old that would have made her, but let's say in the, you know, biblical times you get married a little earlier. You know, maybe she's 22, 23 after, you know, she lived with her husband 7 years, started when 15, 16, I don't know. But anyway, she's, you know, maybe mid-20s, okay? And then it says, And she was a widow of about 84 years. So she'd been widowed for 84 years. So she's of old age, right? You know, she may be 110, I don't know. She's old. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers. How much? Night and day. What did she do? She served God with what? Prayer. That's service. Have you ever known anybody who's just got a real long suit in prayer? Have you ever read a book by a guy about a guy named George Mueller? I'd say that was a long suit in prayer, wouldn't you? Yeah. You know, in prayer. See, in ministering, minister. The word minister is the word served here. Here, I'll show you another example. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Who would like to read Colossians 4, verse 12? Anybody got it? Okay. Arlene? Now, I would venture to say that Epaphras and Anna both had long suits in serving by prayer. Does that seem apparent? Now, does that excuse any of the rest of us from praying? No. Just like because somebody has a long suit in prophecy doesn't excuse the rest of us from prophesying. But the part in the body that's being played by some is they have a real long suit in prayer. Evidently, Epaphras had that long suit. Do you understand? It's called a gift. Let's go back to Romans 12. I had my fingers in so many places I lost Romans 12. See, it's a sampling. You know, in ministering, minister. There's some people that, it's not mentioned here, but it certainly could be included. There's some people that are really good at witnessing. Man, I had a girl for many years in my fellowship. She's always bringing somebody. She just yacked the word all the time, always bringing people. She just attracted people like crazy. And I loved it because, you know, as you can tell, what's my long suit? I teach. And I love it when somebody's out witnessing, bringing new people so I can teach them. That's the way the body works together. You know, God has set the members in the body as it's pleased Him. She wasn't that good of a teacher. You know, I didn't get the kind of results she got in witnessing. You know, but am I excused from witnessing because she's really good at it? No, of course. I love to witness. That's how it works. You know, some people are really good at under-shepherding people. You know, man, you just get in their home or they come over and you're just so blessed, they just sort of melt and you're just so happy to be with them. Some people, you know, people that are pastoral, you know, I love it because, you know, being a clergyman or sometime you go in the census realm and, you know, I tell them I'm Reverend Doug Seed and they want to call me pastor. I tell them, I'm not a pastor. Anybody knows me, I'm not a pastor. You know, probably a bunch of people in my fellowship wish I were, but I'm not. Different functions. We get this idea that everybody's a clergyman, is a pastor. And it says, verse 7, again, the second half of it, or he that teaches in what? Teaching. Now here, the five ministries of Ephesians chapter 4 are represented. Just like the nine manifestations are represented by prophecy in verse 6. This could say, he that's an evangelist, get busy evangelizing. You know, he that is an apostle, what do apostles do? Apostleize. In verse 8, or he that exhorteth in exhortation. You know, there's some people that are just so encouraging, you know. Man, you know, that you do, when you just get around, they exhort you, they encourage you. There's other people that are just, you know, got long suits in kindness and comfort. Now remember, the body of Christ is a spiritual matter. This is not something that we sit around and try to figure out by our senses. You know, I've heard of denominations that they'll, you know, have like a little quiz you take so that you can find out what your gift is or something. This ain't that. And this isn't talking about senses abilities. You know, this is talking about what God has worked in your life. But boy, He does work. And it says in verse 8, He that exhorteth in exhortation. Oh, this is a great one. He that gives, do it with what? Simplicity. Hey, are all Christians to operate the law of giving and receiving? Absolutely. See, but there's some people that got a real long suit in it. My mind goes to Dr. Rohl's brother, Uncle Harry. You know, he'd give away all his money every year and start over. And then God would prosper and He'd give it all. And one of the major reasons his brother could keep teaching the Word was because Uncle Harry had such great believing in light of giving and receiving. See, I had a guy in my fellowship. He recently moved, but he was like, he and his wife, they were just so giving, and it was just such a great example. It was a long suit for them. I tell you, understanding this has helped me appreciate more and more the people that are in my fellowship. You know, the abilities that they see. Some things that I perhaps, prior to understanding this, would not have recognized, would not have appreciated. But their function in the body of Christ. You know, giving and receiving, by the way, is an immutable law that extends throughout all administrations. There's other immutable laws. How about believing? I mean, we're all to believe God's Word, but there's some people that are really strong in believing. Right? Okay. You know, it's terrific. There's other immutable laws, things like work, you know, stewardship, other things that, are, you know, extend throughout administrations. You know, God has given each one of us a long suit, and that is the means by which we can contribute. And we're certainly not just limited to performing our long suit. But boy, when a person is operating according to the long suit, that is a vital contribution to the body of Christ. And it goes on to say, he that rules with diligence. You know, a ruling ministry, a person with a position of leadership and responsibility, perhaps akin to the word governments that's used in 1 Corinthians 12. He that shows mercy with what? Cheerfulness. Again, you know, mercy is a wonderful quality to have, but there's other wonderful qualities that people have and demonstrate as being long suits. This is a sampling of long suits, excelling abilities, God-given abilities that we have as members in the body of Christ and that we can contribute. What a wonderful section of Scripture. Let's go to Ephesians. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, please. You know, again, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are very similar material. There's a lot of overlap. And you can see, because the word gifts is used here at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, we ended in verse 27. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Now, what's implied here, of course, are evangelists and pastors as well. And then it says, after that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Those are manifestations. Helps. That's new. You want to read about a good example of helps? How about Acts chapter 6? Remember when the ministry had grown so much that they had to appoint the seven to help with the daily ministration because some people were getting missed? So they appointed these seven as helps. And then it says governments. And then diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles as long suits? No! Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret as long suits? No! But covet earnestly the best what? Gifts. Charismata. See, again, a very diverse list, a sampling that God calls gifts. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we get into the practical side of this great revelation. And it says, I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation or of the calling wherewith ye are called. That you walk in a manner equal to the calling wherewith you've been called. Now it's starting to talk about the walk. You know, God's encouragement in Romans 12 is if you have a long suit, get busy using it. You know, I think sometimes, you know, people have asked me through the years, well, how do I know what my long suit is? Well, first of all, you have a great, big, wonderful God who wants you to understand that. Another thing, how do you walk? Yeah, 1 foot at a time, exactly. Take a step. You know, might not understand everything, but you know enough. Start walking, and you know what happened? As you start to walk, you start to realize, you know, hey, I didn't do that very well. And then you start walking, and oh, hey, I got blessed when I did that. You know, you walk with God, and you start to understand, hey, this is something that I'm good at. You know, God works within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. I mean, it ain't a senses thing. It's a spiritual thing. Romans says, get busy doing what you're good at. Here it says, walk worthy, or manner equal, to the calling. And how do you do that? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It doesn't say endeavoring to make a spiritual unity, but to keep the spiritual unity that God has already made. And in verse 4, there is how many bodies?
One.
You know, it's been practiced thousands of denominations. The word still says there is one body. And one what? Spirit. New birth spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. What's our hope? Christ is coming back. One Lord, Jesus Christ. One faith. One baptism. Now, I think, doesn't it say someplace, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized not many days hence in the Holy Spirit? Which baptism do you think is still in effect? Water or Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad? I mean, you know, periodically people will come and they'll try to say, you know, you got to get dunked. You know, you gotta have water, add some water. Just take them, you know, Acts 1, Ephesians 4. Say, okay, which one do you want? You know, I'd rather have Holy Spirit than water any day. You know, there's one baptism. And then it says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That must be the Southern translation, in y'all. You know, I think of verses 4, 5, and 6. These are like great unifying truths that all Christians should embrace. You know, we might not always agree about every verse of Scripture. You know, Bruce and I talk back and forth, and we compare notes on things we're working on, and got other people I do that. We don't always agree about everything. But I'll tell you something, we agree on this list. One body, right? One spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, not three. I mean, great truths of Christianity. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this is interesting. This word gifts is a different word than the one we've been looking at. It's the word doma. This is the only place it's used in the Bible. So it makes it difficult to understand its meaning. You can't compare it to other uses. It goes on to tell us about five ministries, if you will, five gifts, doma, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We've seen that those five functions in the body of Christ are represented by teaching in our list in Romans chapter 12. They are also represented in 1 Corinthians 12 by apostles. What is it? Apostles, teachers, and not evangelists or pastors, but prophets. Right. They're represented there. It's long suits. It says, he sent it on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, for many years, I read this verse 12 as being that these five were given for three different reasons. Have you read it that way? That number one, they were given for the perfecting of the saints. So it's the job of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Number two, it's their job to do the work of the ministry. And number three, their job to do the edifying of the body of Christ. That's not what it says. There's different words used for the word for. And some of the translations get it right, but let me give you an accurate rendering of verse 12. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means full equipping. For the full equipping of the saints, that the saints may do the work of the what? Ministry. Now that's accurate. And then the result will be the edifying of the body of Christ. You know what this tells you? Is that every saint has a ministry. Now, what's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher's job? It's to fully equip the saints. And that's a very important job. See, it's very significant. But all saints, all born-again ones, have a ministry. And we've been seeing that our ministries vary. And when we function according to the God-given abilities, our long suits, the result will be the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Grow up. Don't be babies anymore. That's what it says. Don't get blown around by every wind of doctrine. By the way, have you noticed it's kind of windy out there? You know, a lot of different doctrines blowing around. Okay. But speaking the truth in love may do what? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in what? The measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, this is how the body is built up. This is how the body grows. It starts with the shedding forth of Holy Spirit that we started this hour of teaching, that Jesus Christ evidently sends forth. And now that you're born again, you are set in the body of Christ. You have a unique function. You have a part to play in the functioning of this grandest, greatest organization, the body of Christ. You know, many years ago, I was shopping for my wife or for my family at our local Macy's store, and I bought a present, and I gave it to this girl, and she, you know, could pay somebody to wrap it, and so I figured, you know, I'm not very good at wrapping, so I gave it to her and paid her whatever it was, and But it took a minute, so I'm standing there watching her, and I said, well, since she's rapping, I think I'm going to be rapping. And so I start sharing the word with her. You know, and then, you know, she's listening, I'm sharing the word, and she looks up at me and she says, what church you go to? I said, well, I'm a part of the body of Christ. She goes back and starts rapping again. She doesn't look up. She says, I never heard of that one. And I said, yeah, and, you know, we have a very dynamic leader. She said, oh, yeah, who? I said, his name's Jesus Christ. I said, I've heard of him. You know, the greatest organization in the history of the universe. The greatest head, the greatest leader we could possibly have, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ, members in particular. Can you think of a greater calling than the calling of the one body? So let's take a break and then we'll conclude after the break. God bless you.